Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. Buddha then says that detachment is nibbana. Detachment is nibbana. Not attachment, not withdrawal, but detachment. So how do we practice this? How do we find this? Well, many ways. The life of the samana, the Buddhist samana, is designed to be the embodiment of this, an example of this. It's the same way as this training is aimed to take us to this point. We're not living our lives with attachment, and not living our lives withdrawn either. So we can perhaps see how the monastic life is one where we try to minimise our attachments. So we, the family life, and having a wife and children and so on, and then there's a lot of joy to this and a lot of good fuel there for spiritual practice. And yet the downside, the difficult side, is that we become attached to our loved ones. Kind of duties and responsibilities of this life. One of a family life. Yeah, the life of a samana is also modelled on the family life, and yet it's the extended family. So say that, you know, attachment of one family member to another. We could say the other extreme would be somebody who just lives alone as a hermit, wouldn't it? In kind of practical terms, he just stays away from everything in some way or other. So, in this respect, the life of the samana is trying to be in the middle, where we're living in a very much larger group of people, one that's not discriminating in terms of, you know, who, in the way that this is my family and this is not my family. The whole thing is your family. Not blood relations, but just people with different positions within the monastic setup. And so you end up living with people that you don't really know very well, and yet you have the same kind of relationship with obligation towards them as you do your family, in the sense of looking after their basic needs, looking after each other's most basic needs. Because there isn't the same material priority, then this becomes possible, just to support each other's basic requirements in life, very most basic. So this is one way, and then the samana then also doesn't seek even his own, the things that he needs for his own survival. He doesn't try to get these for himself. He makes himself available, but it's to receive offerings. He makes offerings of teaching and guidance. And then makes himself available to receive the support that he needs to continue his life in return. So some are offering spiritual food in return for physical food, if you like. But there's no obligation either way. and the laity are not obliged to offer physical support to a monk, in the same way as a monk is not obliged to offer teaching. It's all done as free will offerings. There's no contract there. So if there was a contract, then there would be a sense of attachment. The person is trying to survive. You know, in a way, a samana is not trying to survive. They're just living on faith. You know, if the requisites come, they come. If they don't, they don't. I mean, do his best to go somewhere else where those things are available. If the food is meagre in one place, then you could go looking somewhere else, looking for the support somewhere else, but not demanding anything. No contract. So it's an uncertain life, and not seeking to survive, but just receiving the sustenance of life. Not taking from anybody else. So it's a very beautiful, harmless way of living, and one that's not attaching to even to existence, even to health or to our basic needs. One is willing to go without, willing to die. Yeah. So often the big teachers, you know, somebody ordains, and they'll say, "Oh, well, okay, so you're ready to die." Ajahn Chah used to say when you went to Wat Pho Poma, "Are you ready to die?" The true samana is somebody who is ready to die. They're ready to accept what's offered if it's offered, and to go without if not, to the point of not surviving, point of death. They're not attached to this existence, this particular existence. So this requires tremendous faith. And you think, well, this is suicide, or it's not. If one has faith, then one will feel, well, if one dies in the robe, then one's bound for a very good rebirth. So the great teachers in the old days in Thailand, they would say, you know, that for monks to go out into the forest and risk their lives in order to find a secluded situation for meditation, if they died, then, you know, this wasn't a wrong thing to have done. To take a chance, take a risk, is not to take an uncalculated, to go to the other extreme and take an unwarranted risk. You'd say this is edging towards wanting to get away from, isn't it? You know, wanting to die. So you're not wanting to survive or wanting to die. You know, you're just living freely, child of the universe. So we can see how our minds will veer from wanting to survive to not wanting to. Yet there's always this middle way there in the middle, which is doing our best to get what we need, but then accepting if it doesn't come, well, it doesn't come, never mind. And this is the situation a lot of poor people are in, which is what you realise if you live in poor rural areas in Thailand, that if the rains come and the food grows, then all well and good. If it doesn't, then that's it, isn't it? Or if we get sick and we can't afford the medicine or the doctor or the hospital, then we just, all we can do is let go. That's it. Yet people are willing to do that. They're open to that possibility. They can accept that. Not seeking it, they're not seeking their own demise, but they're willing to accept it, let go, having confidence that if they've led a good life, then they're bound for a good rebirth. They have to accept their lot like that. is very beautiful. You strive for the best you can, but you're willing to accept the worst, if that's what comes. That way you can't lose. Isn't it? That's the way you can't lose in life. We do our best for, with worldly priorities or spiritual ones, and looking for worldly happiness or spiritual happiness. If we can accept that we're not going to get what we want, then even if we fail in all our efforts, then we'll find a way. We'll find a way to let go. Can't lose then. This is the no lose situation. Yet it can be quite a difficult state of mind to find. Our mind will always vacillate between wanting to get or not, or wanting to get away from. Because of the power of worldly feeling, wanting to get pleasant feeling and avoid unpleasant feelings of the world. This is natural enough. Then, if we keep following this, then we just end up pushed around within this life or life to life, pushed around by the circumstance. Often it should be under our control. So I think in one way the samana life is quite a risky one. In another way, if we have faith in the way that the Buddha sees things, we say actually this is the refuge. This is security, safety, insurance. You know, to take out insurance, best insurance you can take out is the five precepts, or the eight, or the 227. Precepts. So you've got a life insurance. So looking after that which was never born and that which will never die. And taking care of that, the quality of detachment. Not seeking, but open to receive. And mind not going out, but open to receive what comes. By not being born, going out into things, and yet not trying to get away from, but open to receive. Which is what I take all this to mean from my perspective. This is a model that I try to apply in my life, to not to seek, not to run away. Although the strength of mind that comes from a degree of independence, the related qualities of kaya viveka, the seclusion of the body, or independent living, based on the offering of alms. You go bindabat, traditionally you go bindabat into the village, arms round into the village. You're supported by an enormous group of people, just offering a little bit. You're not reliant upon an individual. Another example is the middle way. You're not reliant upon and they're dependent upon a small group of people, and you have to please, and just earning your living like that. Your dependence on a very large group of people, offering through faith rather than through faith in the robe, faith in the teaching rather than faith in you. So there's a looseness in the relationship, not a contract, not tied either way. And yet there is a dependence. So not a withdrawal. Samana will then make his living like that, and then they would live in a monastery which is secluded but not withdrawn. An example of the middle way, so open to visitors, open to people to join their way of life, even. But certainly open to visitors and open to discussion. And yet not so involved, a little aloof, not involved in worldly affairs, not handling money, not no worldly power or influence. You see the way that a monk lives and all the rules and regulations and discipline, how this is all set up to a detached way of life, not a withdrawn one, not an involved one. It's kind of middle ground. It's not like being on the kind of periphery of the society, you know, not kind of partial withdrawal, but something that's truly a middle way, truly a kind of blend or a light touch. So there's monastic sense is a kind of ideal, and then the lay people can taste this, they get a taste for this quality of detachment in their lives, which for a lay person often the way that this will manifest in the way that Ajahn Buddhadasa, a very famous teacher of both monastics and lay people in Thailand, but principally of lay people, and he said that the most important teaching for lay people is anatta, or not self. So the way they can gain detachment in the midst of phenomena is to see that nothing belongs to them. It may seem to them that their house does belong to them, or their children, or their car, or whatever it is. But even in the midst of all these things, then detachment can be won through seeing these things and not who and what we are, and that we don't own these things. Non-ownership is perhaps the most crucial point. Ownership seems quite clear. The monastic thing again, that ownership is not so clear. We don't really own what we have. Everything's just Sangha property. We're kind of on loan to us.